There's something outside.
What is that?
Radio.
Indeed it is Monster X Radio's On the Shoulders of Giants, talking old timers with Thomas Steenberg, the one, the only. Another great show coming at you. Thomas, how's it going?
I'm doing just fine, Julie. Doing just fine. Had a strange phone call from someone from Massachusetts earlier today.
You did?
Yeah, so he's trying to tell me that he knew somebody who plays baby sounds in the bush and has Sasquatch coming to see him all the time.
In Massachusetts?
Massachusetts, yeah. And so I asked, well, did this person take any pictures or video? He said, no, because they want to protect the Sasquatch.
And then I
Then why is he even telling people about it?
Yeah, you got to love those. They want to protect the Sasquatch stories. I really don't think that, number one, they need much protection from us because we can't even find them. So,
Yeah. You know, I'm sure he can't find them either.
Yeah, I know. But it's interesting that you say the baby cry thing, because I couldn't tell you how many people that I know, legit people, that have heard that baby cry sound out when they were squatching, and they'd go towards it, and then it would get further away, and it was almost like it was leading them in the woods for whatever reason.
Well, I had no problem with that. I've actually tried that myself at times. What I have a problem with is he's saying that this fellow communicate with Sasquatch all the time, but couldn't back it up with anything but take my word for it. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's not going to work so well, especially with you. Yeah, right. So, yeah, it's been a minute since you did a show, because I've had, like, oh, my God, it's just been. I thought last year was going to be the end of all the health issues, but don't you know the first thing happens in the first part of the new year is I come down with that nasty virus that so many people are getting, and, I mean, it has held on to me for over a month. I just got my voice back. I swear I ate so much Mucinex. I swear I ate every 12 hours I was eating Mucinex for 2 weeks. It was awful.
But you're feeling okay now.
Yeah, I mean, I can finally breathe again, getting back to being able to breathe without, you know, taking medicine to do so. It's just been really rough, but I mean, I know a lot of people who've been sick for weeks and weeks and weeks, and then you think it's going away, and then it comes back. So it's been awful. But nonetheless, we are back. The show must go on, and we have an excellent guest for everybody tonight. It's somebody that Thomas actually knows in person, which makes me really jealous, because I haven't been able to meet Thomas yet in person. So, is a really interesting gal out of West Texas who has a very colorful past involving the Sasquatch community, has her own podcast, traveled abroad to South Korea. Well, she lived in South Korea for 3 years, but she's traveled to China and Thailand. I mean, she's just on the go. And her name is Nikki Cologne. And she is in the studio. And, Nikki, I want to welcome you to the show.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Good to see and, well, not see, but hear you guys.
Yes, we're so glad to be able to get the show together. I know I've had to cancel a couple times. The last few times we tried to get this together out of different reasons going on. So I guess three times a charm. So we're going to go with this.
Yeah, we'll get it done.
Yeah, but
we'll get it done.
Yes. So Nikki is out, like, out of West Texas, as I said. Now, Nikki, let me ask you this. Do you do much at the Big Thicket at all? Or I know that's on the other side of the state, but
yep, that's pretty much about 12 hours, 12 hours from where I'm at.
Yeah, I know, it's quite
the
drive.
Pretty far. Yeah, pretty far. I do most of the stuff I'm doing right now up in New Mexico.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I have the Sacramento Mountains that are about 2 hours north of where I'm at right now.
Well, that makes it really nice for you. I mean, that's beautiful country up there. I know you've been
100%
interested in the Bigfoot and cryptids for some time, but you actually would be in what we call, I guess, the Bigfoot community since 2013. So you've been around for over a decade now. And
I can't even believe it. Yeah, time flies.
I know, doesn't it? And I know you're interested in and fascinated with different cryptids, but Sasquatch in particular. Now, is there a reason why that is? Have you had some type of encounter, or how did that come to be?
No, I guess younger I was interested in all the different kind of cryptids, but as I grew older, and I'm an avid reader, but for me, Bigfoot was the only thing I felt I could backtrack a lineage, you know, that I could believe that, okay, it could fit somewhere in our evolutionary ladder of life. Somewhere it could fit, you know. It's a hairy hominid. It has an opposable thumb, brow ridge. There were things that I could definitely connect with our past. And so that's what made me become more interested in something that I really believe they're out there. And there's certain things that I can track for that, you know. But not so much of other things you can do that, you know.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
Like the chupacabra, people can't even agree to what
right.
it looks like, you know.
Right. exactly.
So, but you grew up camping and having a love for the outdoors and being in the woods. So you're acclimated and familiar with the woods, and, you know, it seems to me that you would feel comfortable out there investigating this, you know, Sasquatch enigma,
as
we call it. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
And you say
my dad was very straightforward. You know, if there was sounds in the woods, he wasn't like, ooh, scary or whatever. He was like, oh, that's just an elk. Oh, that's just this or what, you know. He was very straightforward with the way he taught us. So I never really grew up with the whole scary stuff. And so, you know, it was okay to be out there in the woods camping and hiking and stuff.
Well, now you and Thomas met back in 2023 at the Mount St. Helens Sasquatch Shindig, Washington State.
Yep.
And that was a joint
alliance
between the Bigfoot Adventures of U.S. and Canada. And you guys came together, did some exploring, and did some food and fellowship. And it sounds like you guys had a really good time.
Oh, it was a blast. I had a great time. It was a wonderful success. It was our first shindig, and that's exactly what we intended it to be, was a fellowship, was to bring a bunch of us who had gotten together online and had done podcasts together and wanted to meet, you know, and sit down and have that wonderful camaraderie and sit around that campfire and talk and walk around in the woods in the middle of the night, you know?
Right.
We had a good time. And Thomas, you know, who doesn't want Thomas Steinberg along for the ride? So
right.
We were really thrilled that he was able to come and join us for this event.
Yeah, it was a good get together, and I'll tell you, there's no country more beautiful than in and around the Mount St. Helens region of Washington State. It is
for
absolutely
sure.
Fantastic. I couldn't recommend it enough, especially the area that did not get destroyed in 1980.
Right.
When the north face of the mountain blew out, even though that's recovering nicely now. This area where we were at was sort of like just south, a little southwest of the mountain in the area that wasn't touched by the eruption in 1980.
Well, that
yeah.
whole area there where you guys sounds like you were at has a long history of fighting.
Oh, yes.
Yep. We were actually in Jay Birch's encounter site. So we actually were camping in a place where we had Jay Birch with us, and we were able to hear his story and, you know, tromp around exactly where he saw Bigfoot.
Hmm.
So it's always nice to be in the actual area, you know. You hear a lot of encounter stories, but when you're there and hearing it, it's quite a different experience.
Right.
It truly is, and there was some kind of there was a little bit of evidence that there could be a creature or two in the area too at the time.
Yep.
Oh yeah.
As soon as we got there, they had a potential footprint that was found, and it looked good. I mean, we had Thomas there to lay. He laid himself flat down on the ground, and he analyze this footprint, this potential footprint, and what did you think about that, Thomas?
I thought it looked perfectly calm. I couldn't figure out how somebody could have done this with a boot print or anything like that, and I couldn't figure out, it didn't look to me, a close examination, like it was an overlapping bear track of some kind. It almost looked to me like something bipedal, you know, barefoot, had walked into the clearing, stopped, and then turned around and went back the way it had come. And the area where these tracks were found was an area that we had cordoned off for other potential people in this group to camp. And
yeah.
Apparently, as I get it straight, that those tracks weren't there the day before. Was that what he said?
That's what they said, because earlier it had rained.
Right.
And so there wasn't, you know, they didn't see anything prior to that Jay hadn't
mm-hmm.
seen.
Mm-hmm.
And then it rained, and then we started to come in, and the first to come in was Dakota,
mm-hmm.
and he's the one who ended up seeing the print.
Yeah, he was the one who initially found it.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I remember.
And
just,
and
they were
right.
All,
he was.
Yeah.
Sorry, he wasn't even a Bigfooter. He wasn't a researcher. He was just there to meet everybody and to cook for us because he was a barbecue guy.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I tell you, this
so
was...
How big was this footprint? Did you get a measurement, a good measurement?
I can't... Was it 17, Thomas? I can't remember.
About 15. 15 inches long.
15.
Yeah.
15, yeah. It was interesting.
And I
guess there was another one, too.
Yeah, there was a number of tracks there, but it was the one that was in the clearing when it actually stepped on the ground. And of course, the ground, even though it had rained the day before, it was awful dry.
Yeah.
It was awful dry. The whole area was rather tinder dry. There was a fire ban on, so we couldn't have a proper wooden campfire. We had to use propane. Because there was a fire ban on, so we had to be very careful. And these possible tracks were not there the day before, and suddenly they were. Yeah.
Yeah. And then we, you know, as the week went by, we were finding, you know, other potential signs of prints. They're potential prints, but they were interesting nonetheless.
Yeah.
And, kind of got our blood going there for a little bit. So you never know.
Other than our boot prints on the trail itself, we hardly left any marks in the ground at all. At least I didn't.
Yeah. No, we tested that quite often, and we couldn't see our own tracks.
No.
So when you did see tracks, it was interesting how that happened, and something quite heavy would have made those tracks.
Well, how many people attended the conference, or not conference, I would say, get-together?
We had 13 people camping, and two others showed up for the day, during the day, on one of the days. So it was perfect. I think had we had too many, more than that, it would have been too many to be tromping around and to really,
right.
It would have ended up just being more of just a get-together kind of camp thing. But because we had 13 and several of them didn't want to go into the woods, it was quite nice because we had small group, who did go out at night.
Right.
And it was nice.
Yeah, there were a few people there who were family members that weren't really keen, like the teenage girls and stuff.
Right.
They weren't really interested all that much in stomping around in the woods at night. The researchers there, it was small groups, and it was. And Brent had his little tricks there to try to attract attention for Sasquatch, and it went rather well. I just wish we would have had a good sighting. The problem is whenever you have a bunch of people like this get together, and if there's too many, you're bound and determined to get a couple of people who are more like, I'm going to do something to get everything excited, and they start saying they see things when they really didn't and stuff like that. And so but I didn't experience that with this group. So it went pretty well.
You didn't experience anybody throwing rocks, Thomas, and saying, oh my gosh, I had to be a Bigfoot throwing that rock.
No, matter of fact, I don't think there was a single rock throwing incident in the whole trip. Other than the one Nikki wanted to throw at me a few times. That's what was about.
I'm sure.
Just when you'd scare me. He had a habit of hiding himself in the trees, and I'd be coming around the corner in the dark.
It's so only partially true. I mean, you got me that one time. Yeah, I was just standing there. It was so dark. It was so dark. If you didn't have your lights on, you couldn't see 2 feet in front of you.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah. I kind of ran right straight into Thomas there. It was hilarious, though. It was hilarious. Yeah. But that's what you do, right? You have to go dark and see what happens. So we did that, and it was quite the experience when you're sitting there in the dark. Even though you had – three or four people around you, once, a certain time period goes by, you just feel like you're completely alone.
Mm.
And that it's kind of an overwhelming feeling, but it was good. It was the first time I had felt like that. And, you know, you can kind of hear your heart beating and thinking, wow, you know, what if you hear something get thrown at you right now? What would you do?
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah.
But
but
it was pretty quiet, but it ended up being a pretty nice, quiet, 3 or 4 days until Thomas left and Brent left. And that last night, of course, there were no equipment up. Nothing was going. We started hearing stuff out in the woods that last night. And I don't know if it was a bear. At first I thought it was a bear because whatever it was going through the garbage. But something came up to the back of my tent and stomped 3 times up to the corner, leaned into the tent, and went, chaw, like that. And I waited to hear, like, snorting and sniffing and scratching, but there was nothing. Nothing.
And you were in
the
tent.
And then it just, yeah, I was in the tent. And it was one of those ice houses, so it just, it's just a canvas tent, but it has no bottom to it. It's, you're just on the ground.
Okay.
So that particular ice tent, you can't just peek out the windows because they were flaps that were up, go up and down from the outside of the tent. So I couldn't even look out to see what was going on. But initially I had the sensation, I froze because I thought it was a bear. I thought it was going to be a bear trying to get in. But it walked away or went away. I don't know what it was. And in the morning, I thought we were going to wake up to a huge mess with the garbage everywhere. But to my surprise, there was not a mess. That whole night that something was going through the garbage, only a few things were spilled out. The big old foil packs that we had, because, you know, there were a bunch of barbecue guys over there, so there were these huge foil packs with the meat drippings in there. They were opened up and they were empty. They were like licked clean. They weren't shredded. They weren't ripped. They were just opened up and licked clean. So there was a lot of weirdness, very weird, that happened that last night. And Jen Watkins, who was with us that week, she was finding footprints all over the place that morning in camp, bear footprints. Little ones. They weren't huge. They were not big. So, and there at the camp, there's a section that kind of dipped down to the creek. That whole area was wet. It was like, you know, something coming in and out of the water right there, which was weird because I didn't hear that. And my tent was the closest to, you know, that area. But I didn't hear, like, animals coming in and out of the water. Although that creek was very loud. Don't you agree, Thomas?
Yeah. It was loud. It was, it was a little dam there that made it even a little louder. That's what we crossed on all the time. That little bridge is actually a little dam. One side of it was like a 4-foot drop down the water. The other side of it, the water was right there. And at least I think it was a dam, or it was just logs over a little waterfall or whatever it was. But all this happened. I had left to come back to Canada that morning, I believe, and Brent had left just after. Yeah, and this happened that last day, yeah. One thing that did happen when we were all there is, and we picked it up, and it was kind of strange on our sound equipment, was a falling tree, which was a large dead snag that picked that particular time to topple over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was huge. Does a large tree make noise in the wood? Yes, it does. It makes a huge sound.
Yeah, we just proved that theory out the world.
Yeah. And you know, the guys went out there several times to look for that tree and could not find it.
Mm-hmm.
And you would think that they would have found it very easily because we could, between me and Jen and Dakota, in the morning, because this was, it had happened right when we had gone to bed, and in the morning, we all pointed to the same exact place that we heard it come from. And still, you know, they couldn't find it. They couldn't find what tree fell out there.
Well, I thought Brent found one that he figures was it.
He found, he did find one that looked like it would have been the one, but it looked kind of old. And he said it had cobwebs on it. So
yeah,
I don't know if...
It was a dead snag, so it just waiting to topple over,
Yeah.
But who knows? We don't know if it just picked that moment to topple over or it was pushed.
We don't know.
But it was kind of funny.
There wasn't any...
Nikki was listening to the recording for hours.
Yeah.
The sound
I was trying to...
All again to get back to the point. She didn't know what was it? You didn't know at what point it had happened?
Yeah, because it was not my recorder, so it was using somebody else's recorder I didn't know. And it happened, but I didn't know what number I was looking at, and, it was a mess. I had to look for it twice. And anybody out there who's ever had to go through audio knows what I'm talking about. If you know, you're looking through hours and hours, and all of a sudden you don't get the number right, and, oh, my God, it was a mess. And it was funny, but, you know, what do you do? We had to check the audio, so... Somebody had to do it.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like fun. Are you guys going to do it again next year?
Yeah, we want to plan this next shindig up in Canada. We're trying to figure out right now where exactly we want to have it. Our first place we think is Harrison Hot Springs.
Ooh.
Up there, and but we don't know because there's some other things that are going to be happening in Canada. So we actually, Thomas, we need to get together with the gang and have our first meeting so we can put some things to rest on where we actually want to go, the dates, and all of that good stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because this year. Well, our first year, we had Jay Birch, who actually lived really close to the area we were going. So we had somebody on point to actually go and check the areas out and find campgrounds. But this year, you know, we don't have anybody right there in Harrison Hot Springs. You know, Thomas is in Vancouver and everybody else is kind of spread out between Michael's up in Calgary, so it's like that's too far for him to be running back and forth. So you know, we have a lot of stuff to talk about. We'll make it happen somehow, but I also hear that I think Alberta's gonna have some type of conference or something coming up right around that time we want to go. So we'll see. Maybe we plan something around that same time as the conference, mm-hmm. and we could also attend the conference as well. It's, you know, there's some possibilities there. So that's all stuff we need to talk about with the main group and see what we can come up with.
Yeah,
well, that here
in and around
Springs
the
Nordegg
area in Alberta, yeah, and the Bighorn Dam, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. We'll figure something out.
So now let's talk about, Nikki, are you, where do you go as far as active investigating when you're able to get out? What, I know you're in Texas.
Well, I just I'm just now starting that journey, that part of my my way into the Bigfoot. I've been a armchair researcher for a very long time. I got my podcast, Sasquatch Secrets, which is doing pretty good. It's a slow growth channel because I talk about the stuff a lot of people don't like to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like to bring on a panel of guests to talk about those hoaxes, the hoodwinks in the community, things, the historical events that have shaped our community. And sometimes people don't like to talk about, you know, those deceits, those things that kind of give us a bad name. But I really feel that it's an important thing to do, that we archive all this information so that people who are coming brand new into this community have a place to go to see all this information and to make up their own minds. So that's where what was that, Thomas?
Oh, I was just going to say, as a matter of fact, your podcast originally was called Sasquatch Hoaxes and Hoodwinks, wasn't it?
Hairy Man. Hoaxes and Hoodwinks. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, that was the original, but I wasn't getting a whole lot of people looking up Hairy Man. So, I decided to change that to Sasquatch Secrets, and that also opened me up to be able to talk about other things. And yeah, so it's good. Thomas has been on several times and has helped me out.
Yeah.
He's a great help and great archivist and has a lot of knowledge about, you know, the history, our history. So he's invaluable when it comes to that type of topic. And
I totally agree. He's like living history, like a walking Bigfoot dictionary of facts.
And
I
liked your podcast because somebody had to talk about those things, the hoaxing and the silliness and the problems with the community in general. I mean, you got to cover that stuff. You can't just ignore it and pretend it's not there. Yeah.
Right. Because, you know, some people say, why do you have to talk about it? Just ignore it.
Mm-hmm.
But that just gives them permission to do it more. And it takes away from the real researchers who are out there, you know, killing themselves every weekend out there trying to find answers. And instead we have to worry about all these people creating these encounters and making up stories that, you know, make a lot of people believe them. And it just hurts. It hurts the community. So, you know, if you want to believe these people, fine. But I just try to allow people to find or help them find those red flags. I'm real big on the red flag identity. You know, just if something's not right, then keep that in mind. Don't just let it slide. And tally those things up because you'll be surprised how many things you're going to say, wow, that's not right, you know. And I'm real big about if you have to draw a circle, change a color, enhance a picture, then it is not good. It is not good enough. Don't share it. If you have to alter anything,
absolutely,
it's not good enough. So that's, you know, that's the message I like to get out on my podcast. As for me researching, I am just now starting that journey. I have an area up in the Sacramento Mountains that I've gone out to once and did a four-day thing up there just looking for the right areas. I've hooked up with a really smart lady up there, and her name is EC, and who had a sighting in this particular area. And she is straightforward, man. She's the real deal. There's no way she's hoaxing this event she had, because she is so much not for the hoaxers. She call out anybody for anything. And hopefully this spring, you know, we're going to start tromping around out there. She's going to show me the area she's been looking at for the last 10 years. She had one sighting, and she has been looking for it ever since.
So, was it the sighting that got her interested, or was she looking when she had it?
No, she was up there just she took her elderly mom up to this old forest road to look at the scenery. They would sit and have lunch up there. So they were going up this forest road when this thing went flying down the mountain across her truck. And she jumped out and went to see it and watched it run all the way down the hill. And her description of that body of this creature was amazing. I mean, she said it had a perfect body, you know, if you were to see it from behind. And but that interview is on my channel. You can find that. I think I have it labeled as The Encounter with EC.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this really good little encounter. We walk right to the area. I show the whole way that it ran through, and we talk in depth about it.
Sweet.
Good one. Yeah.
And you've been doing it since 2021.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been going out there, and then we did I did my first. It was like a mini expedition with us there in the Mount St. Helens area, because, you know, it was kind of a double duty thing, getting to know everybody and having fun and meeting Thomas and some other people from Canada, Michael, Gallagher. So it was a good experience, and that really gave me the bug to go out there myself, you know.
Yep.
So, yeah, before then, you know, I've got my kids and I'm real involved in the school. So it's hard, you know, when you have that role and you have to stick around home. And it's 2-hour drive for me to get up there. So it's not like I can just go during the day and come back. It's planned events that I have to do. So, but we're going to make it work now. My kids are old enough to take care of themselves now.
Mm-hmm.
It's mama's turn. It's mama's turn to have some fun. Yeah, for sure. So I'm definitely want to do that.
Well, I'll make sure, Nikki, if you end up coming up here in this area, BC, we'll take a day and I'll take you to the Ruby Creek Chapman.
Mm.
Or the Chapman
House.
Oh,
my God.
Yes.
That would be amazing.
Yeah. And now I'll take you to tunnel number 4 where Jacko was allegedly captured, and show you there and show you around Harrison and Harrison Hot. And they should be in the new museum by that time, so they're finishing up on it now.
Nice.
Was that in Harrison Hot Springs?
Yeah. Yes, in Harrison Hot Springs, yeah.
And that's where some of your stuff is, isn't it, Thomas?
Yeah, a lot of it. I'm in Mission. I'm only about 45 minutes from Harrison Hot Springs.
Wow.
Yep, yep, I want to take a couple of weeks so that I have time to do all that because, you know, it's not like I can get to Canada all the time. So
no.
If I'm going to do that, I got to make it worth my time and get up there and see it all. I'm going to try to squeeze it all in.
Yeah. You have a passport, right?
My stuff is getting an official passport right now because I'm also going to be going to Italy this year. That's a whole nother thing, but that is with my husband. He's going to be working there in Italy. And, so they have my marriage license right now. So I have to wait till that comes back from Washington and then I can apply for my regular passport.
Wait a minute. Why would you go to Italy? There's no Sasquatch there.
I know. I know, but I'm not moving there. I'm just going to go visit him while he's over there, so doing his job. But it's kind of a cool thing.
I'd say.
Yeah. Pretty fortunate.
Yeah, I wouldn't
fortunate
pass by that opportunity.
I mean, I just cannot understand why a woman would want to go to romantic Italy with a husband and go into the woods looking by plates. I just
That's funny. Yeah. I don't know. I was thinking, gosh, where am I going to go? I'm going to go to Canada. I want to go do this. I want to do that. I want to go up to the mountains. This year's going to go by pretty fast, I think. We're going to have to see. We'll see how far I can stretch that tax return.
So just to clarify, Nikki, the reason you changed the name of your podcast was to get away from that hairy man in the title.
Yeah, pretty much. Because when I was looking at my algorithm and all my metrics for my show, it was not being looked up. It wasn't something that was people were looking for. Tons of people were looking at Sasquatch, Bigfoot, searching. They were searching those names. But
after you changed the title, did you notice an increase?
Yes, I did. Yeah, absolutely did. As soon as I changed it. It was coming up in the searches and stuff, so it was a good move.
Yeah. And the title now is Sasquatch Secrets.
Yep, it sure is.
Now, where
Come
can
on
they
down.
Find that at?
That's on YouTube. You can search up Sasquatch Secrets or at Nikki Colon. Both will lead you right to the channel. And I do a live show every Sunday at 5 p.m. Mountain. And, we get together and have a good time. Usually we have a good time.
Usually. Well, we usually have a pretty good discussion.
Yeah.
Show I did with you, we were discussing the Ruby Creek incident, was it not, with Jerry?
Yeah, that was a good one. They're all good with you, Thomas. I like to do those historic ones. They're fun to go through for sure. We did Jacko. We did Jacko together. We did Albert Osman together.
Mm-hmm.
I think we did 8 Canyon together.
Mm-hmm.
Then we just did the Ruby Creek incident.
Mm-hmm.
I'm missing somebody.
And we did a few episodes with a woman. We were talking about hoaxing and hoaxes. I think we did the massacre.
Yeah. We did the big massacre.
Yeah.
That was a big one. Yeah, that was a really big one. For sure. And I think we even did a PG Patterson-Gimlin one.
Yeah.
So it's good. They're all good topics, you know. You always bring up something different, so.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure. And,
yeah, Thomas definitely has
trying.
Some stories.
Yeah. Can't go wrong on this subject. It's always interesting, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Sometimes I think, oh, man, what am I going to talk about? You know, I've already talked about this and that, and then something will come up that'll spur on a new topic. And I'm like, I'm just going to go for it, you know, come up with a clever promo, and then away I go.
Mm-hmm.
So if I can get a couple of people there,
Yeah, the banter
awesome.
Back between the guests can go on pretty interestingly too.
Yeah. But man, we've talked about money, Bigfoot and money. We've talked about misidentifying animal, you know, Sasquatch, feral man, bear, suits. We've talked about, well, recently I also talked about the big thicket fiasco with Bob Garrett.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, and that's the one that you didn't come. No, you were
that's
sick.
That's the
you
one that
sick.
I was so sick I could hardly lift my hand that day. I was like, you've got to
yeah,
be kidding.
Yeah.
I was so furious that I had to miss that. But I could barely squeak out a word. So
yeah,
it was awful.
No, it's, yeah, we don't want you to be sick on air.
No.
I've had Alex Petikoff came on to talk about the drive to discovery and what drives him to keep, you know, doing what he does. I've even had Rick Dyer on, and I've interviewed him twice.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I haven't heard anything about Rick for a long time.
Oh, he's still up to his shenanigans.
Is he still living in Florida?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right now he is in Georgia. I want to say he's not. He's moved several times. I don't know where he's at right now, but he's still doing the car business stuff. But he is absolutely coming back into the community, so beware.
Oh. He, does,
yeah,
he doesn't
he's
have
coming
a
back.
Sasquatch body in one of the back of his cars, does he?
No, but he decorated his truck all up again and has a new gang of people. And supposedly he's got some kind of expedition or something funded that he's going to be having on TV. So I don't know what's up with
that. Is that right?
Yeah, so be aware of that. That'll be coming.
And that'll cause
for sure.
Big old rift for a while, I guess.
For sure.
Yeah, sometimes people, they get bored with nothing to talk about in the community. So something like that'll definitely upset the cart.
Yeah. But, so have a pretty good, some great shows, you know. Got to come check it out, people.
Absolutely.
Indeed, I highly recommend it. Anyone out there listening, if you want to check out a good podcast, go to Nikki's show, Sasquatch Secrets. You won't be disappointed.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I just try to keep it honest, you know. Keep it honest.
That's
stick,
the one.
Stick to the facts. Stick to the facts, like Thomas says, and you'll be okay.
Mm-hmm.
Thou shalt not hope. I always tell that to everybody. So if you don't hoax, you'll be fine in this community. Just don't do it.
Nikki will be talking about you.
Yeah,
that's right.
I'll be talking and there's a lot of people. Yeah, I'm not the only one. There are some other people who do that too, but for sure, we have our opinions. You know, everybody has their opinions, and it's okay. It's okay. We're just pointing out the facts, and hopefully, you're on the right side of those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, yeah. So many people find it so easy to hoax, so they just, thing that really aggravates me is the self-hoaxing that some people do, and they do it so well they start to believe what they're saying to themselves.
It's almost like they believe their own, they tell their lies so much that they actually start to believe it themselves.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's a little scary because it's quite delusional, and you just got to wonder what's going up in that brain of some people, you know? It's like, interdimensional Sasquatch coming from a planet down here, and there are trees sometimes, and then other times they become Sasquatch. I mean, I'm sorry, but...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to be like that because everybody has their own little niche, you know, their own little clique, and they're very loyal to that clique. So it's hard when you try to bring up any type of receipts or proof of malfeasance.
Uh-huh.
You're going to get it, you know, from those people. And,
the people who like that, when they listen to the Nikki show, their blood probably boils because no one likes it when you shoot their Santa Claus.
I know.
Yeah.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah. But, you know, they'll attack me, but they can't attack my words or anybody else, you know, who does this type of work because they can't. They don't have the receipts or the proof to prove otherwise.
Yeah, so you always remember, Nick, when they start hurling insults at you, they're just admitting they've lost the argument.
Yep.
Brent will always tell me that. He'll always tell me to look at the source and don't worry about it, you know. So
they have counter argument and therefore they're attacking. So that's what it has. That's what it works.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I know that I'm in a lot of people's block bin. And Facebook and other social media. You know, they just don't like the confrontation. And I'm not doing it in a mean-spirited way. I'm doing it in literally, can you explain to me what you mean by that and what evidence you have to back it? And just that, those two little sentences, their head explodes. And then it's like, well, you need to get out in the woods more often. And I'm like, dude, I live in the middle of a forest. I mean, you know, hello.
There will always be some kind of excuse that they stab at you, you know. Well, you're just armchair researcher. You're not boots on the ground, so your word doesn't mean a thing. And, or, you know, I don't know, it'll go on and on, and I don't really see it stopping, so it's just stick to my guns and make sure that, you know, I have proper evidence before I put anything out and do my due diligence, and I'll be okay. And my followers who do follow me, they're wonderful and they're loyal, and they will, you know, if anything ever comes up, they're the first to contact me and say, we know, you know, you're okay. Don't get frustrated. You're good.
Mm-hmm.
Keep up what you're doing. And you have a lot of people behind you, so don't ever stop. And I'm like, okay, that's what I needed to hear. As long as one person understands what I'm trying to say, then I will keep on going, and we'll see what happens.
Interesting. You definitely need need that. We need your show, and there's so much tomfoolery, if you will, and it's nice to have more reality-based people in the community. But we're getting ready to hit the top of the hour here. And I wanted to ask Thomas if there was anything else that he wanted to make sure was said, or
I just wanted to make sure that Nikki is still planning on carrying on with the show, or you're not getting tired of it or anything like that.
No, I'm not getting tired. I think what happens is that there are some shows that can take a lot out of me,
mm-hmm.
and I like to do a lot of research before I do a show, so sometimes I get tired because, you know, I'm not getting paid to do this. I don't,
right.
my channel's not monetized or anything right now. And, so sometimes I'm like, whew, that took a lot, you know, to do that show.
Mm-hmm.
And, sometimes I can get a little down about, okay, I don't know if this is worth doing, but immediately I get the feedback and everybody loves it. And then I'm ready to go again, start doing it again for the next week and the next one. So as soon as it gets to be where I just am dreading to do it, then I'll stop. But for
mm-hmm.
right now, this is my hobby, my love, my, you know, this is where I spend my spare time is doing this. But be clear that I do have another life. I do have my kids and my family, and
yeah.
we do like to do a lot of stuff, so that'll always
yep.
come first. And
absolutely.
This is my other fun stuff, so that's, you know, where I'm at. And hopefully I'll be doing maybe a little more in the future. Like I said, my husband is going to be working out of the country, so I'm now, I got to keep myself busy now.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll be doing this for a while.
Awesome.
For
well,
sure.
I'm certainly glad
sure.
that we were finally able to schedule a show and get you on. You know, like I said, it's been absolutely mayhem for me. You know, I had that surgery, my back surgery, and then recovering from that, and then I get sick, and it's like just, it's got to get better from here. So stay positive.
I will. You too, man. Get healthy. I'm glad all that's about behind you. So now you can have this whole year to do stuff. You're going to be
right.
raring to go.
I am
You're
raring
have to
go.
Come
we've,
up to.
Yeah, we've spent a lot of time over here in the URI, which I live right on the edge of, and finally being able to get back to walking those trails, and it's been so wonderful. We were out there again today, so it was just awesome.
Nice.
Nothing like being in the woods.
Well, I'd like to extend you an invitation to the shindig up in Canada. As soon as we get that settled, I'll send you an invitation.
Well, I appreciate that. That would be epic, so.
It would. Get to meet Thomas up there.
I know. That's a goal I have, one of the top bucket lists, so. Well, thank you both for another great show, Thomas. We'll probably be back. I'm hoping to be back again within the next few weeks. And I know for our 50th show, I already have somebody in mind for that, and they're from Canada. So it'll be Thomas's neck of the woods, so. But, again, thanks, everybody, for listening to the show. Nikki, thank you for coming on. And, you know, we really appreciate your time.
Thank you so much. Thanks for the invite. Thanks, Thomas.
You're very welcome, my dear. It's great talking to you again.
Yes, absolutely. Mm. Stay in touch.
I will do so.
All right, well, everybody have a great rest of your evening, and we will be back here again for another episode of On the Shoulders of Giants, Talking Old-Timers with Thomas Steenburg. Thank you all for your support.
Old.
Not old, but O-L, old.